raised in them old paths.
Amen.
With them old men of God and that old timey presence of God. Thank the Lord. Brother Sharp, we love you. It has been a wonderful week. What God has done in our midst. Thank you, men, for being here tonight. And I've got some friends from North Carolina. They parked by me at the motel, and I seen their tag, and I'm pretty nosy everywhere I go. I looked in the car and tried to get in. It was locked. No, but maybe. But and then they come out the door the same time, and they're from Unity Baptist Church in Kannapolis. And they're here to see family in the area. And so anyway, they decide instead of going to supper, they come to church.
Amen.
So they follow. I didn't even know it. They've pulled up next to me at the train. We're following you, preacher. We're going to church. Amen. There's a train goes down there sometimes. Have y'all found the book of Jonah? Hadn't the Lord been good to us? Lord, we do thank you for Calvary. We thank you for Jesus. Oh, Lord God, thank you for the blood of Christ and the power of God. Thank you, Lord, that John the Baptist laid hands on our Savior and baptized him in the Jordan River, Lord. God, you've took me down to the river and I've been baptized. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb and I thank you. Lord, help us one more time. In thy pulpit, we pray. Sanctify this pulpit now and sanctify this people. Sanctify this assembly. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name and all the Lord's people say it.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Sharp, for having a Friday night service. Most people are afraid to anymore because, you know, when some of these white-headed ones were young, Friday night was the biggest night at revival. And that's when everybody came. But now it's the smallest night. And it's because America's too busy for the Lord. But I like them Friday night gatherings. I like them. That's that Malachi 3 bunch. Then they that feared the Lord in an hour when nobody was worshiping God. Malachi, the last of the Old Testament prophets. God's people had gone into idolatry. And the world had gone into a darker darkness. But there was a little group that there was a little group that loved the Lord so much they didn't they couldn't figure out anything else to do except assemble.
Amen.
Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, probably because nobody else had talked to them. They had to talk to each other. Spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened. And heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him. For them that feared the Lord, look at their great accomplishment. Look at the mark, look what he commented on, the commentary on their life, and that thought upon his name. It don't take much to impress him. And that thought upon his name, and I love that Malachi 3:16, the next verse is 17. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day, here it comes, when I make up my jewels. Thank God I have sat with some diamonds and pearls and rubies and emeralds this week. We're in love with this flock. And there's countenances, there's faces in here. There are saints, and even some of you I associate with this meeting. Even though you're members of other churches. And I'm glad to be here with the royal jewel bag tonight.
Amen.
That Friday night bunch. Everybody else had to go to Walmart and the Steakhouse. They tried to go to the Steakhouse. Followed me to church. Amen. Thought somebody was mugging me. I'd had a gun. They didn't even know it. I've got the little video thing with the Marco Polo, and I got, I've set up a group. I got 46 pastors on there. You're not on there, Brother Sharp, because it's for fellows who are lonely. It's for pastors who are stationed. I got a man in Nebraska, for example. It's 73 miles to the nearest Walmart. His town has about 180 people. Amen. There ain't a preacher in the state that he could fellowship with. And so men like that across the country that are not able to be around meetings and be around preachers, and men are stationed in lonely outposts. And so I carried that little thing and I video stuff that's a blessing. And we talk about it. And I video stuff in church sometime discreetly. Amen. I can't stand when a church looks like one of them concerts he talked about. When everybody's got their phones up, dear time. Look like a bunch of hippies at Woodstock with their lighters going right there. These kids don't know what that is. I was born in 69, so I was not there. I bet Tom. Was Tom there? I bet he wasn't there. I love picking on Brother Tom when he's here and when he's not here. That's the pastor's father-in-law. So 96.3, you have a formal church station, 95.3. And I get blessings out of that station. Sometimes they get a little too much opera. And I start having seizures. I have to back off of it. And then you got 96.3. And it's a blessing. But sometimes you think you've moved into a honky-tonk and you got to back off of them. So all this week on the way to church, I've been listening to song. And I'll do a song for the men. They don't have radio stations in. So I've been doing 95.3 songs and 96.3. So when they pulled up, somebody was singing a good one. And I had it cranked up so it could get through my phone. And I know it was booming in there. So it was Christian music. It was. It really was. But I couldn't turn it off. I had to keep it going there and film that for the men. I still tell my children, and they say, "Dad, quit." I said, "We're going to watch a film. Let's go in here in the living room and watch a film." They don't know what a film is. My mom and daddy in the 70s, how many independent fundamentalists we got here? Amen. Rented a projector from the library. Amen. Did y'all ever do? All right, see, I know Tom was in there. Put it in the living room. Hang a sheet on the wall and watch Laurel and Hardy. Can I get a witness right there? It was the only thing the public library had in Missouri. I was in England on the missions trip earlier this year, and there was a Laurel and Hardy. I went up and asked them to sign my Bible, but they were wax statues, you know. So I secretly signed their left shoulder when nobody was looking. But anyway, yes, I'm grateful that God gives us friends. So trying to be a blessing to some of them fellows. In the book of Jonah, the Lord, I'm not going to stay here long. I got four thoughts. I'm going to talk to you about revival. The Lord will help us to pray for revival. And I'm going to tell you right off the bat, pardon me, I've been blowing my nose all week. Feller shouldn't have a cold in the summer, but sometimes he does. You hadn't learned yet to hit that mute button, Travis. You've had all week to practice on that. I beat him to it every time. I would fire Travis tonight, but he's got to come help me set up a tent, so I can't be firing Travis. Revival. I want to say this to you. We better stay in our Bibles. Better stay in our Bibles. Better stay in our Bibles. Revivals can be so small. God will send the small rain upon the tender herb. Out yonder in the desert, there'll be a small rain. God knows better than to hit it with a big rain. It'll kill it. That's Deuteronomy 32:1. Showers on the grass and dew in the morning on the field. And as small rain upon the tender herb. God can revive a little herb in the desert. I'm about to run what I'm about to do. Revival can be so small you'll never see it. But it meant everything if you were the tender herb. Yes. Amen. And then revival can be so big the whole world sees it. And revival can come in 20 different definitions and they'd all be right. You might could even have 200 definitions. My old country preaching daddy said that every Wednesday night service worked. He said, there's never been a church service by the Lord's people that was a failure. Every Sunday night, little Sunday night service, and Americans don't want to come back, and the contemporary boys said, they said, I have an idea, let's just not have church. There ain't one thing wrong with that. I've read Hebrews 10. As you see that day approaching, so much the more to assemble together.
Amen.
The crowd gets smaller, the services ought to get more frequent.
Amen.
According to the Bible. And my old daddy said, don't you be discouraged. I heard him talking to some young pastors. He said, every Wednesday night service was necessary for your church to live.
Yes.
Did y'all have breakfast this morning? Did you have lunch today? Probably did. You needed that to live. God revives you every morning when you wake up. I was laying on the grass praying my first church. I was 21, turning 22, and we're going to put up a tent. I've had a summer camp meeting for 30 straight years. I turned 50. This is my year of Jubilee. Had no camp meeting this year. Last weekend was when it was supposed to be. I was laying out there in the grass with my deacons and with my men and our young preachers. And one old farmer deacon from South Georgia, he is always getting full of the Holy Ghost. He was a crier. He'd cry. I had one that'd laugh. He was just one big belly. He had a round head, round ears, and a round belly. He was one of the most loved men in our church. He'd get full of God, and he'd laugh, and that old belly would shake, and he'd laugh. And there'd always be 40 people around him just drinking in that juiciness. I had one, thank God, he had old time spirit. He'd shout. He had more preach in his voice than 100 preachers I've known. An old deacon, and he'd pray. And, Lord, when he was plugged in, we could get plugged in around there.
Amen.
This other deacon came to us. That's another story. But he came to us and joined in with us. Said, I've waited my whole life to find an oasis.
Amen.
And he loved that old song in the church hymnal. I would not be denied. I would not be denied since Jesus came and made me whole. I would not be denied. That old deacon got in there with us and prayed some big prayers. Saw him here a while back at the church Jamie Burke's at now. He'd come over to that meeting in South Georgia. Half of Knoxville's mad at me, and I didn't even have anything to do with it. Jamie left us. And I saw that old deacon there and still weeping, still shouting. We was laying in the grass praying on a Saturday night. He got to weeping. He said, woo, do you see that? I just said, glory, it's blessing me, whatever it is. What are you seeing? And we was praying over there next to a stand of pines. And one little old pine he showed me. One little pine, a particular breed, caught it and nothing else. He said, my grandpa showed me that if you'll ever get in the stand of pine trees, there'll be a breeze moving just one of them. When there ain't no wind blowing, there is a breeze somewhere, and it's working on one, bringing that sap up, pumping it. He said, that's how the Lord works sometimes. Nothing's happening, but there's one.
Amen.
There's one, and it'll forever be changed. And then who knows, that one Sunday school teacher, Ed Kimball, in Chicago, was it? Might have a little boy in his class of 5 or 6 students named Dwight, Lyman, Moody. And one little Sunday school teacher have a burden for one little boy and turn into an evangelist that saw 2 million people saved. or 1 million people on 2 continents, something like that. My. And there is that. There is that. Now, also when I was in Florida, who was it, Hurricane Hugo? I don't remember. There have been so many. Came through the middle of Florida and flattened trees for one third of the state. There's those kind of winds too. There are winds that knock down 100,000 pines. And then there's a breeze that'll just move one. Don't underestimate that little breeze. And then thank God for when a big wind does come. I'm going to talk to you about revival. I got 4 things to say to you. We're going to look at 4 revivals in the Bible, 4 prominent ones. Y'all in Jonah? Let me go ahead and give you my burden. Let me go ahead and give you my burden. See if you can enter into this with me. This may take a minute. We'll see. We're going to have to write a banner for each revival. You know what happened here? Jonah. I'm going to go to Jonah, where the first mass group of a bunch of old Gentile pagan dogs, you ought to have said amen right there. Amen. Aren't you glad he had something for us Gentiles? Yes. By the way, that's why there was Jews, because of the Gentiles. The Lord sent Jesus. He had to get him an elect nation so he could send salvation to the nations. Amen. That's what he told Abraham. You're going to be the father of many nations. Nations. And thank God, this is the first mass large group of Gentiles getting saved outside of the Jewish economy. This is the first bunch of Gentiles we get saved that we see in the Bible. So I'm going to call it a revival.
Amen.
You talk about what the last verse. Y'all look at the last verse. Jonah 4, verse 11. Should not I spare Nineveh the great, wherein more than 60,000 persons cannot discern between the right hand and their left? I think he's talking about children. Don't know the right hand from the left. There's 120,000 little children right there. Assyria. The ruling world empire at the time. Nineveh, the capital. Look how many of them God saved. Jonah run through there, preached an 8-word sermon. Don't y'all wish I had one of those? I got one with 8 words in it, but I say the 8 words a whole bunch of times. And I love this revival here. It all got kicked off with Jonah 3:9. Who can tell? Who can tell? The old king just said, who can tell? Let's repent. The people done believed God and proclaimed a fast. The king believed God and proclaimed a fast and said, who can tell if God will turn and repent? Woo! I got to give you all 4 of these so I can then just thrash around accordingly. Then I'm going to go to Matthew 17. Get in the New Testament. And get up on that Mount of Transfiguration where, let me say this, see if y'all can act halfway religious. Let's see if you can enter into this. Where Jesus showed his glory to his inner circle.
Amen.
I'd call that a revival. If you'd been brought in the inner circle and been brought up on the mountain and something came out of Christ that nobody had ever seen before, and Christ was a man that nobody had ever seen before, God in the flesh. Somebody said the miracle was not that God could be put in the flesh, but that God could be restrained in that flesh for that glory to not break forth all the time. Oh, I'm going to go ahead and call that a revival. You talk about getting in a mountaintop glory service. That other one would be like a revival for the world. This one would be like a revival for the church. Moses and Elijah showed up. You get the witnesses from the Old Testament. Peter, James, and John, they're on that mat, and the Lord shows his glory. God breaks in.
Amen.
It'd be hard not to call that a revival when God broke in. And you know what he told them coming down the mountain? Tell no man. what you've seen up here. So you know my banner over Jonah's revival is, who can tell? A revival that shouldn't have never happened. Nobody deserved it. Nobody desired it. There wasn't a formula you could stick to it. Nobody was praying for it. Nobody had been in unity. The preacher was mad when it did happen. Come on, y'all ain't helping me. There wasn't a church in there that paid a price for 25 years. I heard Dr. Percy Ray talking about that, and I'm glad him and his church did in Camp Zion. But Jonah didn't have that. There wasn't no church prayed for 25 years. It's just an old wicked, undeserving king said, who can tell? Let's put on sackcloth. Who can tell if God? And then you get over there, and I got to stretch a banner over that and a transfiguration. You can't tell. You can't tell. I'll come back to that in a minute. Then I'm going to move on to Acts 2 when the Holy Ghost fell in power. Fire leaped off their head. He said, ye shall receive power. Thank God I was raised by some of them good soul winning men too.
Amen.
I had old timey overall wearing backer, might as well have been shooting. Whatever that means, that's what they's doing to it. Country preachers. But I got around some of them boys too that had a burden to win the world. I heard Acts 1:8 enough till I believed, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And it wasn't to be a woman preacher and the yabba gabba gabba in tongues. But ye shall be my witnesses. But ye shall be witnesses. You know what happened? In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. By the way, I know where the uttermost parts of the earth are. You do too, if you've read Matthew. It's the heart of Africa. The Queen of Sheba came to see Solomon. And Jesus said she came from the uttermost part of the earth to hear him. That Bible will define itself if you'll read all of it. Go ye. You know what they done when they got full of the Holy Ghost there in the book of Acts? There went the apostles. There went the churches. There it went. There went the apostle Paul. Peter passed that torch to Paul over around chapter 11. And there they went. You know what I call that revival? Go and tell. Holy Ghost fell on them and it was time to go and tell.
Amen.
Fourth revival I'm going to run into. You got to get all the way over there to the book of Revelation. You talk about a revival. Woo! I hadn't been nowhere yet. The Lord wanted me to properly preach this fourth point. I got to wait until I get somewhere where they're more excited about heaven than they are about money.
Amen.
More excited about heaven than they are grandma. More excited about heaven than they are a 401k. More excited about heaven than they are the upcoming election. I've got to wait till I get somewhere where they're in love with Jesus and entered in, they're all living in the throne room. Their body's just still here. Y'all ain't helping me.
Amen.
I'm going to preach on that revival in the book of Revelation. What do you think kind of revival is going to be? Revelation chapter 1. And every eye shall see him. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Heaven's going to roll back like a scroll.
Amen.
And brother, he's taking over every kingdom that is. He's going to judge the beast, false prophet, the Antichrist. You'll be glad then you stayed with an old-fashioned church and you didn't join one of these Antichrist churches.
Amen.
One of these non-denominational, ecumenical, run by charismatic women and effeminate men. Oh, y'all ain't talking to me. You got to talk to me. If you don't want an old-fashioned preacher, don't ask one to come. You'll be glad then you didn't join one of the Antichrist church. Church without walls, a church without a name, a church without a border, church without a doctrine, a church without elders, a church without a pastor, church without a Lord's Supper, church without 1 Corinthians 5 church discipline. You'll be glad then you stayed in a real church. Be joined one of these Antichrist churches. Somebody said denominations don't matter. Let me hold your wallet for a minute. You want me to take a 5 or a 100? If denominations don't matter. There is no such thing as a church that is non-denominational. That's a whitewashed sign. It means we got charismatic women running this thing and effeminate men and devils. And we know that our actual doctrine is so poisoned we can't put the name on the sign because y'all know better. So we're going to hide it under false love and false peace and just call it non-denominational. Y'all ain't helping me. I'll sign your Bible when you ain't looking if you fool with me. That's what I'll do. Bless the Lord. Oh, what a day that'll be. You'll be glad you stuck with the church. Amen. The day that he comes back. Now, he's going to secretly whisk that bride out. And then 7 years later, when he's got the Jews back where he wants them and the nations where he wants them and the devil where he, when he got everything just like he wants them, we'll be with him on them white horses probably. Yeah. Don't forget Monday night. Then we're going to confuse our visitors. But anyhow, golden crowns on our horses probably. No, and there we'll come. There we'll come. You know what I call that? Thank God. He takes over this world and makes it look like what he meant for it. Amen. We'll be in glorified bodies. Our loved ones, we've done had a reunion. We've done had a reunion. Jesus will sit on that throne. We'll be in glorified bodies. You know what I call it? Show and tell. Amen. Everything, dear brother, that this world never could see and everything we believed by faith in that day is going to be the biggest show and tell you ever seen. Amen. It's going to be the biggest show and tell you ever. The Lord's going to show and tell. He's going to show off his bride. He's going to show off this. Oh, what a day that'll be. What a day that'll be. If in this world only we had hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Amen. Because I live, you shall live also. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There's a wellspring of eternal joy in the soul of the children of God. We don't shout because we're old white-haired saints. Somebody get full of God, they'll shout at age 10. Amen. We don't shout because we got American freedom. These Christians 10 times more spiritual than us in North Korea and communist China right now. They ain't shouting over the right president and over the right election. Y'all help me now. I get about puking sick of all them politics. God's running these governments. He's got every kingdom right where he wants them. We don't shout because of our health. You're only going to have good health for a little while until you get sick. Then you won't have it no more. But you'll still have that joy. Amen. That joy of the Lord. We don't shout because of our freedom, because of our health. Because we don't even shout because we got family and friends. We're thankful for all these things. We're grateful for all these things. But that's not where that wellspring of joy comes from. That wellspring of joy comes from the fact that there's a holy God in heaven and the beautiful Son on his right hand. And they've dipped me in blood and washed me and forgiven me, and I got a justified account on the other side. I've been reconciled to God. Amen. We're not at enmity no more. Amen. And I'm wearing his righteousness. Amen. He's in me and I'm in him, and there ain't nothing in this world to fear and nothing in that world. I love that list at the end of Romans 8. 17 things that'll never separate you from the love of God. What a day that'll be. It's going to be show and tell. Jesus said at the end of John, blessed are those eyes. Blessed are those eyes which have never seen and yet have believed. There's some things I've never seen. Most of what we preach about is things we've never seen. That blood on the mercy seat, that throne yonder in glory, that third heaven where God has got us anchored in. We've never seen them things. But we believe. Amen. They'll see you in that day. All right, there's your four revivals. That's four of the most prominent revivals I got. Now there's more if you come down the ladder and get more smaller and more specific. But them's four big ones. I want to talk about them, them first two especially. Let's go to Jonah. Y'all still in Jonah?
Amen.
Who can tell? You know why that's encouraging? Because there's no earthly reason and no spiritual reason that they should have had revival.
Right. Yes.
I'm going to go through the list again. I touched it a while ago. Nobody was in unity. Nobody was in prayer meetings. Well, they believed God and proclaimed a fast. But that happened after. There hadn't been nobody praying in Nineveh. There wasn't no preacher. There wasn't no program. God sent a man, and he is the sorriest excuse of a preacher that we've seen. The whole nation got saved, and it didn't mean, he got mad about it. And the next day, God let a little gourd grow, gave him a little shade tree on top of a hill, and then he said he was exceeding glad. Boy, he was a cat, wasn't he? He was exceeding glad over a Snicker bar and a Diet Coke and didn't care. A whole capital of the world empire just got saved, and that upset him.
Yep.
We got a lot of Jonahs in our churches. Get real happy over goofy things.
Amen.
And the only time they get upset is when God moves in a big way. Y'all ain't helping me. I know the bunch that needs to hear this ain't here, but tell them when you see them that we was talking about them. On Friday night, say, we were talking about you. And they'll say, I hope it was good. And just say, oh. I've turned 50. I'm going to try to quit lying. It's one of my resolutions. Just tell them, Look at some scripture. Did you underline Jonah 3:9 already? Thank you, sir. I'm going to get me a shirt like that when I grow up. Going to. Yes, sir. That's all right. Keep it. Jonah chapter 3, verse 9. Who can tell? Underline that. Who can tell? Got a good definition of repentance in here, by the way. Because God repented. God repented. Pretty good definition of repentance. That just means a change of mind and a change of heart. These theologians try a little bit too hard to fix things that ain't broke. It's a change of heart, change of mind, change of direction.
Yeah.
What about that? Old King said, yeah, we're pretty wicked. Let's just all repent. Who can tell? Did it say who can tell? Oh, I like that word turn. I thought that was in there. I was going to double check. Who can tell if God will turn? Brother, when they turned, when they repented, God repented. I kind of feel like this. Isn't it good that God did Jonah a favor and gave him a message that would be fulfilled no matter which way it went? Never said God's going to burn this place. Never said God's going to judge it. Never said God's going to destroy it. What was the word? Overthrow. Yet in 8 days, and this city shall something overthrow. Yeah, there it is, chapter 3, verse 4. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be. If God had said destroyed, he'd have had to. If God had said judged, he'd have had to. If God had said obliterated, he'd have had to. If he'd have said not fully exonerated, sorry, I've been in the debates all week, then he'd have had to. But he used the word overthrown.
That's right.
He could have dumped them into hell or dumped them into heaven and it still would have been true.
Yeah.
And God had guidelines for them. If a prophet ever gave a prophecy and it didn't come true, he's a false prophet.
Yes.
God gave Jonah a message that could go either way. I'm about to run out in their cemetery and shout.
Amen.
Glory. Made no sense. Now I'm going to say this, and I hope it encourages you. There's no formulas for revival. The only fellas I hear talking about revival have never had one. The experts. And I got dear friends. I've got some dear friends. They love to study history of revivals and history of church history. And I'm not being ugly to them. I could name three of them right now, and I fellowship with them. But I have talked to them about this, to be honest. I softened it up pretty good. But I didn't want to hurt them. So it's interesting, the men who live in the history books. I've been sitting on the pew with you when the power of God broke out and you got confused. I'm thinking of a place right now, and if we're live streaming, so it'll just have to be whatever it is. But I'm thinking about a place right now in North Carolina. A man is a revival expert. He could give you every quote. He could give you every date. He could give you every special event. He could quote the pages, you know, when Sister Emma Living Sue on the third row, a tear dropped on her shoulder and the angels jumped out and all that. I mean, he could tell you all that. And he got no idea how to have revival. He knows how they had revival. And I promise you, everybody who's ever had revival will tell you, we're not really sure. And if you're not careful, you'll tell them how your revival worked, and then you'll say, you go a step too far and tell everybody how their revival's going to work. Amen. God's so original. Amen. Every sunrise is different than the one before. Every sunset's Amen. Different. God can make 7 billion people on this earth. Everyone have a different vocal cord, different eyeballs, a different countenance. Amen. He never does anything a second time that looked like the other time. He's a creator God. He's so original. He don't need our ideas. He don't need us to remind him what his last idea was.
Amen.
And an old Saul Miller, feller died, and an old Saul Miller boy come in there, logging trucks and a sawmill, and a little preacher boy called to God. Can't read the Bible without busting it all up. Come on now. And you know what they're in the middle of? Starts with R and rhymes with evival. He ain't read a book. I doubt if he's read through the Bible in a continual manner. And they're weeping and sobbing and getting saved and getting called to the mission field, and teenagers are getting sanctified and full of the Holy Ghost, and missionaries are coming out of his church, and they're break, and Sunday school bust up 11 o'clock hour because they're all in the back praying with a loud roar. And I'm not being ugly to the men who study revival. I've studied them myself just enough to know I ain't going to fool with it. We need God. He's got to help us. You ain't got a clue how he could do it. Don't run 1 Chronicles 7. That's a good path. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, seek my face, turn my way away, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their, watch out now, land. Let's back up. One step back and get out of that verse and look at the other verses. Right. He's telling a Jewish king how to get the nation right when they backslid. Those are specific orders on it for a Jewish king how to get the nation right when they ain't never been a Christian nation. The land. The only people who think this American land is God's elect nation is the Mormons. Oh, y'all ain't helping me. You praying in your NASCAR on Sunday and at your football on Friday and you actually think God hears them prayers. You boys with me? Now it's time to holler. God ain't interested in a piece of pig skin full of hot air and chalk lines, gambling, drinking, idolatry, naked cheerleaders. It'd be time to say amen now. NASCAR on Sunday. You ain't supposed to be at the race on Sunday. Amen. Drinking, gambling, cussing. Amen. There ain't many old-fashioned churches left. There ain't many old-fashioned preachers left. prayer, NASCAR prayer, football prayers. God and country. What country are you living in? This ain't Israel, folks. Boy, y'all are just looking at me. America is not the kingdom of heaven on earth. Israel is. You know what God's going to do to all the Gentile nations? He's going to judge the fire out of them. Y'all ain't helping me. With fire! You be careful, 1 Chronicles 7:14. That's real heavy Jewish. If you want to see a Gentile revival, we're in it.
Amen. Jonah. Amen.
We're in it with Jonah. Jonah for years. Jonah 1. Oh, there's some nuggets in here. Woo! Look in verse 4, Brother Sharp. There's a picture. There's a revival, a great wind, and there's the Gentile nations, the sea. Never seen that till that front pew a while ago. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. That great wind's Holy Ghost symbolic. The sea is always the Gentiles. It's always the Gentile nations where you got the seas. The sea's always getting in a ship making a mission trip. I don't have time to prove all that, but the seas represents the peoples, the tongues, the kindreds, the nations. What about that? There went out a great wind into the sea. There went out a great revival into the capital of the Gentile world empire. Woo! That ought to pop you a happy bubble right there. And then come down here in verse 6 with this same thing. So the shipmaster, that'd be Jesus, came to him and said to him, oh, there's 7 questions that Jonah got asked. This first one be a real good one in the context of revival. What meanest thou, O sleeper? I'd like to say to our churches in America, the true churches, what meanest thou, O sleeper? I'd like to say to the pulpits of America, what meanest thou, why y'all sleep? Sleepers. 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 Oh my. Have y'all ever seen the picture of the gospel in Jonah? All right, look in chapter 1, verse 1. Here's the law. Word of the Lord came to him 2 times. First time, chapter 1, verse 2, what did it say? Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. And what? 2 words. Cry against. For their wickedness has come up before me. That's the law. First time, that first testament. And the first time God came to me. The law came to us and cried against us about our wickedness.
Amen.
All right. Y'all want to see grace? Go to chapter 3, second time. Oh, I'm about to run. Chapter 3, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Right there, you can just go ahead and say grace. Chapter 1 was law. Chapter 2 is grace. Chapter 1 was Jews. Chapter 2 is church. Y'all ain't helping me. Second time. By the way, I got my little sermon. You know, God don't ever have to do anything a third time. Anybody got a third testament in your Bible? Only the Mormons do. Anybody ever had a third birth? He's talking about our spiritual birthday a while ago. Have y'all had a second birth? Amen. If y'all have a second testament, the new one, huh? Anybody heard about the third coming of Christ? Y'all ain't helping me. I'm going to keep going till somebody helps me. I'll get him to hop in. Oh, my. God don't ever have to do anything a third time. How many sons? How many Adams? Anybody heard of the third Adam? There was the first Adam in the garden and the second Adam in the garden. Y'all ain't helping me. There was a third one. The second time. All right, what's it say? What's the commit? Arise. I've left my Bible. Y'all got to talk to it. Go. And then there's the first change. Unto. The law goes right to you. But grace comes unto you. Unto. That's under. That's humble. If I came to you, that's direct. If I came unto you, that's easier and nicer and better. Unto. And then what did it say? Cry against it? No, what did it say? I'm looking for two words. Preach unto. Preach unto. Oh, y'all ain't helping me. Woo! Look what the law does. The law cries against you. It talks about your wickedness. But that second time, grace comes unto you. Amen. And there's preaching. Amen. Preaching. Amen. Preaching. Go on down there to your big mega churches. There ain't no preaching going on. They talking, conversing, little lesson, little devotion, little glass stand, little turtleneck, little too much jewelry, a man with a perm. What's it now? Some things only supposed to belong to a woman. Y'all ain't helping me. Men ain't supposed to be pretty. Now, me and him are, but we can't help it. We can't help it. You, sir, I mean, you got more of a Russian gangster look, so you're just, you know, we can't help it. But I got news for you. That preaching's what we need.
Amen.
Preaching.
Amen.
Preaching. The law cries against you. But the gospel, and I believe he said preach unto them. Unto may be in there twice. Is it? Oh, I'm about to run if it is. Wow. And then look what did it talk about the law? Their wickedness has come up. But look what this verse is. Just the preaching that I bid thee. Woo! Isn't that better? You know what we talk about in the age of grace in the church? We talk about what the Lord said to us.
Amen.
The law has talked to you about your wickedness. Grace just talks about, let's talk about that preaching I'm going to preach to you. What happened? All right, Brother Travis and Brother Blackshirt, Blackbeard. What happened between 1 and 3? Oh yeah, a death, a burial, and a resurrection.
Amen.
Ain't that good? The Lord even said, now there's speculation. I believe Jonah died. You don't have to believe that. I believe he died and was resurrected. Now you don't have to, he could have been unconscious and the type is still there. Jesus even referred to this in his own resurrection.
Amen.
Said an evil and evil generation seeketh, evil and wicked generation seeketh after a sign. Going to give you one sign. It's going to be the resurrection of the Son of God. That empty tomb will be the last thing the church ever needs to see.
Amen.
And he said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. I personally believe he died. You don't have to believe that. I won't break fellowship with you. But there's definitely swallowed him up and took him down. Took him down to the gates of hell. It's pretty interesting. Chapter 2. Into the deep. Y'all remember Monday night, Leviathan? In the midst of the seas, thy floods, all the way away, I'm cast out. Cast out. That's eternal damnation language. I'm cast out of thy sight. Happened to Cain. And it's going to happen at the final judgment. The depth closed me round about. The weeds went down to the mountain. There's verse 6. The earth with her bars was about me, two words, forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from what? Corruption. I mean, you can see it either way. Oh my. But we got a picture of a death, a burial, and a resurrection. There's the gospel. The law cried against me. Then there was a death, burial, and a resurrection. And grace was offered to me. And then a revival. And they just said, who can tell? You know why that's so encouraging? Because a lot of us would struggle to fit these formulas. But God's mercy is so big, so don't worry about all that. The conditions ain't on y'all. They're on me. These folks had two things that matter: faith and repentance. It's about all I could find. They believed God. They proclaimed a fast. What do y'all think about that? They had faith and repentance. And old King hollered out, who can tell? I think God was on his way to open up one of them vials of judgment. And he heard a king hollering, who can tell? The Lord said, who said that? What? What did he say? Close that furnace back up just for a minute. What are they saying? They're sorry for their sin. Amen. Well, they've got faith in me. Huh. Tell you what, boys, this is going to mess the Calvinist up. Change of plans.
Amen.
That'll mess up all your predestarians. I seen the sign that said, look out for predestarians. Don't run over. And I tried to run over three people. Maybe that. God said, change of plans. I was fixing to end it all, but instead of that, we're just going to begin it all.
Yeah.
I'm nearly done. I don't think I'll have time for much else. One night, Dr. Percy Ray, Camp Zion, Myrtle, Mississippi. Israel reborn in 48, and God opened up Camp Zion, great camp meeting in 49. And a man laid on the Mississippi River, a man that walked with God, and he probably held this nation together. Because God's done with the Gentiles after the two world wars. The drawing power, for the most part, has gone back to the Jews. You know why there's not 5,000 people in this Friday night meeting? It's because that drawing power has gone back to the Jews. The news is about the Jews. And the drawing power's on the other side. And God's drawing them Jews in. 2,000 years ago, the Jews rejected him, so he rejected them for a little while. And he turned and he scattered them Jews, dispersed them across the face of the earth. And he turned to the Gentiles, began to draw them. How do you think the animals got in the ark? There wasn't no roundup. There wasn't a Shem, Ham, Japheth roundup. That drawing power. And I've seen the ark. It's in Kentucky. It's in Cincinnati. They've been looking for it. They've been looking for it in Turkey. Somebody misunderstood that. It was Kentucky. They thought they said they had Ken in Turkey and they got mixed up. They've been over there. And I've seen that icy thing for 60 years. No! It's in Kentucky! It's in good shape! Leave me alone. I had a good time. I had a good time in the ark. I confused them all. I had so much fun. Oh, Lord. Interesting, isn't it? The Sodomites have chosen the rainbow sign that was given from God as a token of the mercies of God. The Sodomites hijacked the rainbow, so God went ahead and put the ark right in the middle of our nation. That ark says one thing. For 120 years, it said judgment's coming. Judgment's coming, judgment's coming, judgment's coming, judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. I just made a numerical connection. 120 years, 120,000 babies. By next week, we'll halfway know what that means. Can't be an accident. 120 years, judgment coming. 120,000 in this first Gentile revival. We got to go chew on that. Oh, I got news for you. Who can tell? God turned around. Dr. Percy Ray sat on the Mississippi River. He had him an iron altar, the four corners, the four horns of the altar, 9-foot iron altar he had. We went in there and looked at it. He laid on that thing, never married, fasted often. One night there's 49 states in that camp meeting. And Hawaii was one of the states. I don't know who was missing. Dr. J. Harold Smith, one of the last great Southern Baptist preachers from this part of the world. He raised $175,000 there one night just to add on to their tabernacle. Dr. Percy Ray, you might confine this. I found it I was driving down the internet highway and found it. A cry for revival. He preached one night on revival. Preached about 35 minutes, and then the power of God broke out. And it's a 2-hour recording. You get 4,000 praying out loud in the Holy Ghost. Not a bunch of charismatic gibberish and a bunch of silly women. When you get a bunch of men full of the Holy Ghost calling on God, you ain't never heard such a thunder. You ain't never heard thunder. The men prayed. 2 hours. And brother, Dr. Ray left his lapel on by accident. He kept recording. And he had told those men. He said, I want every one of you to go home and get 12 good men and start praying. Start fasting and praying. He told them that was something he told them to do. Get 12 good men, start praying and fasting. And that thing was left on. And there was a power broke out in that place, a great cry, a great prayer, a great shout like probably you've never heard. My generation hadn't heard anything like that. And those men were coming by and hugging his neck and talking to him, and you could hear what they were saying. Nobody knew it. And here's what they kept saying. One after another, Brother Josh, they'd hug his neck and said, Preacher Ray, I don't have 12 good men. I don't even have 3 good men. One after another would hug his neck and weep, and Brother Ray, I want to go back home and pray for our nation to have revival, but I don't have 12 men. Well, they kept telling him that. And he'd tell them, just get what you got. God will help you. Isn't it good when you can't meet the conditions? Who can tell? Who can tell? Folks, we're not praying for this land to be saved. Only thing that's going to purify the blood of 60 million aborted babies, only thing that can purify the soil is fire. The only thing that can purify the stain of the sodomites on our soil is fire. First time it was a flood, second time it'll be fire. We're not trying to save America. Jesus didn't die on the cross to save a Gentile nation. God ain't interested in the government. He's running it. Football, NASCAR. The Bible says the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to God. Amen. They interviewed Dr. J. Vernon McGee. He pastored in Los Angeles, down in the middle of the city in the 60s. The ministerial council got together, headed up by a woman. Y'all do know the Bible says for the women to keep silence in the churches. You don't know, Paul said, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over men. Them verses are still in the Bible. Yes. Kind of hard for a woman preacher to be the husband of one wife. We got a Methodist church 6 miles from our house, and Sharon's been pastoring it for some time. Me and my kids make, we laugh when we go by and spit watermelon seeds out. They came to J. Vernon McGee and they said, help us. We're trying to save this city. By the way, it didn't seem to have worked out. He said, God didn't put me here to save this city. Yes. She gasped. There was a collective gasp from the little group. They said, Dr. McGee, you've got the largest congregation in Los Angeles. What do you mean you're not here to save this city? He said, Jesus didn't die for this city to be saved. He died for sinners to be saved.
Amen.
And he said, ma'am, what you don't understand is that God ain't going to save this city. He's going to burn this city. And she said, well, what are you doing here then? And he said, I'm pulling a few fish out of this pond before the Lord toasts it. I'm glad he saves old sinners. I had some of them. Some of y'all a little confused. I pastored some. They wanted to go on strike and go down to City Hall, and they wanted to go to Washington, D.C. I couldn't get them to revival. I couldn't get them excited about a prayer meeting. I couldn't get them to go with them and knock on a door and tell a sinner about Jesus. Are y'all hearing me?
Amen.
He sets up kings and he takes them down. It's his business. It's not gospel business. Government business is God's business.
Amen.
We're the salt of the earth. Sure are.
Amen.
We're the light of the world. Sure are.
Amen.
And ain't none of that to fix politics. It's to fix those sinners that are lost.
Amen.
Neither Jesus nor Paul ever attempted one political revolutional moment.
Amen.
And the Roman Empire is more wicked than anything we've seen so far. Not for a moment. They both appeared before. One before Pilate, the other before Herod. Neither one of them said, by the way, they talked to you about some of the legislation and some of the corruption I've seen in government. No. Jesus talked with Pilate about truth. And Paul talked with Herod about his salvation testimony and how come you ain't got one. Y'all ain't helping me. You worried about America going down? Quit worrying about it. She's going down. But the church is going up.
Amen.
And we're probably not going to have any real prayer meetings in America until we do collapse into a third world business. Well, that's what old Dr. McGee said. I'm not here to save this city. We're here to save some sinners. My. Well, y'all have done good. Friday night crowd. Thank God for you.
Amen.
Say one thing about Matthew 17. 90 seconds is all I need. Probably just 60 seconds. You can't tell. When you've been on that mountaintop and His glory's come out and you've been up there with the inner disciples, with Moses and Elijah. Y'all hearing me? When they came off that hill, Jesus said, tell no man. That's what that revival looks like. There's two reasons, at least I know. You can't tell, number one, it's not permitted. You start talking about the glory you saw there, you talk a little too long, it'll become something of your glory. That was His glory. That ain't our glory. I mean, me, you, any of us. We talk about it 10 minutes too long, we'll be glorying in the fact that we know the glory. It wasn't for everybody else. It was for the men that would carry the gospel to the world. You can't tell because it's not permitted. Number two, you can't tell what you've seen when Christ showed His glory on that mountaintop and God showed up and you heard the voice of the Lord, seen the vision of the Lord, and there's the two witnesses from the Old Testament. There's the head of the apostles. There's the two sons of thunder. You can't tell because it's not possible. Y'all ever been in a meeting where the Holy Ghost blowed in? And the glory of Christ was manifested in that assembly, in that church. And the next morning, somebody says, "What happened at church last night?" You end up, after you stammer for 7 minutes, then you go, "You know, you just had to have been there."
Amen.
We had revival in the 90s where I pastored in Florida, and to this day, there were men, we were in that together. I think in 93, people walked the aisle every Sunday with nobody escorting them and got saved every Sunday in 93. We had great revival. Didn't have Sunday school 3 years. There was such a prayer meeting Saturday night, bled over all the way into Sunday morning, right through 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock. I didn't know any white pastors in my town. It's because I didn't, you know, Sunday after church, you go to the steakhouse. The Southern Baptists were all there at 12:01. They ate with the Methodists. Independents were all there at 12:20. They had to baptize 2, church discipline 3 people, and then they could get on down there about 12:30. Run the bus home. They're all right. I miss them. I always got to the steakhouse about 1:30 or 2. And the only thing down there was my black Church of God brothers, and we had a big old time. I couldn't get in that salad bar for the floppy hats, you know. Sister, hey, y'all have a good one this morning. Woo, preacher. I said, "I know. We just got here too." "Yeah, we just got here too." I was friends with every black Pentecostal man in town because I never met the white ones. That's a true story. I knew I didn't agree with them, but I wasn't mad at them. We had steak every Sunday together. To this day, I run across one of those men and one of those young men that was in about them 5 years of raw Holy Ghost. We can't even tell each other about it, and we were there together. What one of them told me the other day, said, "You know, we can't even tell each other what happened, and we were there when it happened." That's because the Lord's more glorious. There ain't no vocabulary. Twenty years ago, older evangelist from North Carolina, Brother Dana Williams, taught me a good lesson about Matthew 17. This is 20 years ago. He said, "Son, you can't take nobody back to the glory mountain. He won't be there. He was there that time that he visited." He said, "What we like to do is claim it, control it, commercialize it, market it." This is 20 years ago now. He said, "We Baptists like to go back to that mountaintop. We either start a college or a camp meeting. We'll give bus tours. Come see the glory on the mountain." He said, "We'll write books and start seminars and even sell t-shirts. I was there at the glory mountain." He said, "Son," this is 20 years ago. He said, "Son, just thank God you're on that mountain. And then get on and help all that demon-possessed multitude. When they came off that mountain, it's immediately time to deliver the demon-possessed multitude. What you got on the mountain is all you're going to need." You can't tell that stuff. It's not possible. It's not even permitted. You'll try to be still in that glory here in a minute, and then God will have to judge a hound out of you. God forbid you ever start making merchandise off the gospel. He kicks over tables when that junk start goes on.
Amen.
That's when he kicks over tables. Oh my. Let's pray. Let's pray for who can tell. What if you and your little bunch, after we've had wonderful visitors every night, wonderful singers every night, but you and your little flock, when we're all gone, what if y'all come in here Sunday morning and just come up here and get in a circle and say, let's just drop all the structure and hold hands in a circle up here and say, who can tell if God will come by here and help us? Act that way for 6 months, see what he does. I called off everything at my church. That church started in the 1800s, the First Baptist Church. It was nearly started before the convention. It was independent because there wasn't a choice. Then it was Southern Baptist, and then it wasn't. It was an old deacon. Only had, well, one old mossy back got me. Like the way you're doing things. I said, you've been doing this 100 years and all your boys are locked up and all your girls are defiled out of wedlock. You reckon maybe it's time to find God and quit your routine?
Come on. Yes, man.
Me and him locked horns. He's one of the meanest men I'd ever met. Had blood on his hands. Back in Florida, back in the outlaw days before the interstate. One of the meanest men I ever met. He had one thing going for him. He did have somewhere in there. He had honor for that word. God smote him with cancer and cooked him for 11 months. Wouldn't let him die. I went and loved on him the whole time. I drove from 3 states preaching a meeting to be there for his first surgery. And when I walked in, 40 family members looked at me. And he sat up and said, I told you my preacher would be here. First nice thing he'd ever said. And we became the best of friends after that cancer. He's one of my best men then. Stood with me, prayed with me, helped me. The Lord turns things around. You don't be trying to fix things you can't fix. Let God fix it. Oh, brother. Who can tell? And ask God to do something in here that you can't tell. When we all leave, y'all ought to come in here Sunday morning, just get in a circle. Imagine this, watch this. Just make it a house of prayer. I'm going to suggest, and you don't have to do this, Pastor, if you don't feel led. But what if y'all came in here Sunday morning, skipped all the steps, all the stuff, got around this altar and prayed for 2 hours? What do you think about, what would the average Baptist church do if they actually made it a house of prayer? It's the only thing you ever called it. It's a house of prayer. It's what we did. I was trying to go to Romania. I was trying to go to Russia. God put me in that church. Walked in there and said, hey, we need God. Let's just drop all this and find God. And they were so interested. And some of them knew God. They jumped in there and we went. You know what it'll turn into? Go and tell. Go and tell. And there'll be fruit and it'll multiply. And then one of these days we're heading for that final show and tell. I want you to bow your heads. Would you make music, Sister Sievert, for us? And our heads are bowed. I'm going to ask you to stand. If you'd like to come pray. If you'd like to come pray, just come on. We invite you from other churches. This may be your first time in this meeting, but we've just been praying every night. Why don't you come help us pray for our churches? If you're going to pray for this nation, pray for the churches of this nation. Pray for our generation. Pray for our generation, our churches, the power of God. Let's play for us, sister, and we'll make our prayers unto God.